Do you want to know what's annoying me this morning? Of course you do. It's a constitutional crisis. Well, isn't it amazing how many people suddenly have a serious opinion on the constitutional place of the House of Lords now it actually did something? It's broken with convention. Well, so did Thatcher with regard to the post-war convention not to overturn legislation by her immediate predecessor. So did Attlee by giving a toss about the rank and file of the British people, or at least pretending to. So did George Hamilton Gordon. Anyone? Come on, full points if you get it now. Fourth Earl of Aberdeen? Half points now. Nope, nobody. By siding with the French, rather than against them, to take Britain into the Crimean War. And that tradition of siding against the French was a good 1,000 years old. And that marked the end of a glorious history of not getting on with them. Which, because we're best buddies now, obviously. The fact is, our constitution is a mess. It's a set of random wibbly-wobbly bits which have developed mostly as a way of avoiding revolution. The only reason the Great Reform Act was passed was because there was fear of revolution spreading from the continent. The only reason the labour movement won concessions in the early 20th century was fear of outright rebellion. That's what the British do. They try to steer away from actual uprisings. And I'd like to think that's pretty much what happened here. I'm probably wrong on this, but hey, run with me. The Lords, looking at what was presented before them, looked at a spiral of hideous poverty which could only further damage any prospect of social cohesion, and acted. I really like to believe that's what they did, leave me my rose-tinted glasses for a moment. But, I hear people cry, they aren't able to do that. Do you know how I judge if someone's able to do something? If they actually do it. That's a good sign. And furthermore, if they're not then prosecuted for it, it was probably also legal to do it. So, the Lords did something they were allowed to do, but some people hoped they wouldn't. But what's the point of having power if you don't someday use it? As an aside here, that's actually quite a good argument against keeping our supposedly almost independent nuclear weaponry. Anyway, back to the plot. The Queen, to take another example, could refuse to sign a bill into law. Once. Parliament would come back the next day and establish a republic with the sod you, Your Majesty bill, but she could do it. It's completely against convention, but you can't make her. I'd like to see her running around the palace breaking pens shouting, you can't make one, you can't make one, and then throwing her skirt over her head and hiding behind the sofa. God bless you, ma'am. The fact is, despite First Lord of the Tossery David Cameron claiming that technically he didn't promise not to cut tax credits, I think you'll find I was very clear, and what I actually said was that I rejected the report which had said I would cut very specific tax credits at a time when the national finances meh, deficit reduction meh, the working people meh, we're all in it together meh. Ooh, that bacon looks good. Despite the fact that most people believed he did make that promise, which means he hasn't got a moral trotter to stand on. He's annoyed. Fine, let him be annoyed. Or, more accurately, Osborne is annoyed. Even better. His parents should have sent him to a school where he could be happy, rather than sell his soul to Beelzebub for the ability to appear as a source of derision both to his fellow cabinet, who don't think he's posh enough, and the rest of us, who think he's an inherited wealth git. Did I mention my parents took me to an interview at St. Paul's, Osborne's school, and when asked what they wanted me to be, the headmaster presuming they would say a diplomat or prime minister or a git in the cabinet, upon hearing them say happy, the headmaster fell backwards off his chair in shock. Well, that school did a good job morphing the poor unfortunate boy that arrived with Mr. and Mrs. Osborne into the twisted demon you see now. If Cameron and Osborne really care, they could abolish the House of Lords, as Cromwell did, with the simple words, the House of Lords shall not sit here, nor shall they purport to sit anywhere else. And with that they were done. Of course he could. But since almost invariably the Lords historically has backed the Tories, they probably won't. But they could. Frankly, the Prime Minister, with a majority in the Commons, actually has all the powers of a dictator. He just pretends not to out of convention. We don't have the kind of checks and balances some countries do, or think they do. He could abolish the bill requiring re-elections with a simple majority. The best reason why he doesn't is not that he loves this country, whatever bollocks that means. It is because if he did, I firmly, and leaving my optimism here, second time in a single podcast, I firmly believe the British would mass rise up in organised protest, stand toe-to-toe with the police and or army, and the latter would decide not to fire, and the country would descend into at least some form of temporary chaos, or the latter would fire and we would descend into some form of totalitarian rule, which would only delay the chaos. That's why the ruling classes really love convention and the status quo. Not status quo the group, you understand. They're very much not loving the here we come and here we go lyrics. It's because they're always a little afraid. That's why Corbyn is so dangerous to them and why Myra Black is so dangerous as well. Those people and others like them are trying to remind the people, us, that sovereignty is ours, not a possession of the landed gentry. That things could actually change. Ultimately, the Lords should be abolished. And perhaps it's given cause for concern, but really, all it should have done is remind us of a rather fine poem. We hear men speaking for us of new laws strong and sweet, yet is there no man speaketh as we speak in the street. It may be we shall rise the last as Frenchmen rose the first. Our wrath come after Russia's wrath, and our wrath be the worst. It may be we are meant to mark with our riot and our rest God's scorn for all men governing. It may be beer is best. But we are the people of England, and we have not spoken yet. Smile at us, pay us, pass us, but do not quite forget. Oh yes, we are the people of England, and we have not spoken yet.